Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Middle Age Gaming Podcast. This is Crane and Anna. We are here with the original Middle Age Gaming Magnificent Deal. Today, we are talking about games that are coming out soon, or games that have come out roughly within the next year or so, maybe sooner. So again, if you're excited about gaming, if you're looking for something to play, or maybe something to kickstart, or maybe something to pre-order, this is the show. Tune away. Before we get started, want to make sure you like, subscribe, and share the video. Follow us on Twitch, follow us on YouTube. This is much appreciated. We are 40 subscribers away from that magical 1,000 number on YouTube. We release 3 shorts a week at a minimum, if not more. You should keep an eye out for Adam's shorts if you have not seen them anyway. If you're a fan of cats, those are always things to look out for. So today, Antoine is not with us. He's taking his family for a vacation to the wonderful and sunny Dominican Republic as opposed to the cold northern hemisphere at the moment. And it is, though Adam looks like he's not cold, woke up and it was 14 degrees Celsius this morning, which is pretty cold for me. I didn't want to get out of bed. But yeah, Antoine will not be with us for 2 weeks. Potentially, Adam might be doing a solo show next week. So on the 1st of March, I was going to say the 29th, no, on the 1st of March, keep an eye out for Adam on his own, or maybe with a surprise guest if he can wrangle one up. Anyway, that is enough blabbering for today. Let's start off with our first game, which is going to be Adam's first game, whatever that may be.
All right, so my first game is going to be Monster Menu, the Scavenger's Cookbook. It's interesting how I found this one, because originally... Okay, so these are made by NIS, and you probably noticed that the art style is very similar to games.
What is NIS? Because you said it...
Upon eSoftware.
So why is NIS the acronym famous?
Because they do a lot of porting of Japanese games. They do a lot of localization. So people who are, if you're familiar with the Disgaea series... or those sort of things. These are games that originally released in Japan, and then NIS will work often with XSEED as well. They'll work to port these games over to the West. So if you're into JRPGs and that sort of thing, then you've probably seen some of these games because they do a lot of that. Yeah. So they're relatively well known. But anyway, I found this game because I was just browsing through my PlayStation app one day, and they had a list of upcoming games, and the title was completely different than what it is now. The game was only available in Japanese, and it was only for PlayStation Essential. And I was like, oh, that looks interesting, but because it was only on PlayStation Essential, you couldn't actually buy the game. I guess the game wasn't...
Again, explain for non-PlayStation people, what is PlayStation Essential?
So PlayStation Plus has multiple tiers, and PlayStation Plus is basically the basic... Essential is the basic tier. It was non-essential. It was on, I don't remember what the other two tiers are called, Ultimate or maybe. But you have your basic tier, which is just you have access to PlayStation Plus. If they have sales, sometimes you get a little bit extra money from those sales. You get usually 3 free games a month, and you get their online services. And then the next tier up, they offer like Game Pass. It's basically what was fused with PlayStation Now. So it's like Game Pass to an extent, not... Why, I don't know if it's quite as extensive as Game Pass. It doesn't do day and date. That's one of the big differences. But the concept is very similar in that you get these, you get an instant library of games that you have access to. And then level 3 is both the first two levels, plus you can get certain game trials. So, for example, I think they just recently added Horizon Forbidden West to the second tier. But the third tier, you got something like a 10-hour free trial of it if you were on tier 3, so you could test it out. So you get a lot of free trials of games where you can at least try them, play them for maybe 6-10 hours and see if you like it, and then you can buy it. But they also have streaming of PlayStation Classics, which are PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 games, and even PlayStation 3 games, which I believe are streaming only. But you get access to not just the current library, but even... older stuff, so you can go back and play even older games on tier 3. So I just have the basic tier. But I saw on the second tier, they had a game, it was something like eating corpses in a dungeon or something like that. It was something like really morbid, and it just immediately caught my eye because of the art and the title, and I was just like, what the heck is this game? So I looked it up, and yeah, at that time, it didn't really have an official English title, so clearly somebody had just translated the title literally from Japanese into English, and then I guess later on, they changed the title to something slightly more palatable, and now it's called Monster Menu. But yeah, so the premise of this game is you are some adventurers. There's this dungeon. You go down in the dungeon, and you get lost. You fall asleep. You wake up. You're not sure where you are, and you have to find your way out of this dungeon. And that's the basic premise of the game. But since you're down in this dungeon, you know, you're hungry. You're thirsty. You need to eat. You need to sleep. You need to do all these things. You need to camp out. And so as you go through the game, the monsters that you hunt and kill, you have to cook into food, which will give you bonuses to help you survive, but also make you stronger on the battlefield. Then you can kill bigger monsters, get their food. So it's like in a Monster Hunter game, in a sense, where you go out, you collect parts of these monsters, and then build better gear. But here, instead of building better gear, you're building better meals, and then using those meals to sustain you as you find your way out of this dungeon. And yeah, so that was what appealed to me, was the fact that it's an SRPG, a strategy RPG. You've got your tiles, you move around. So that appealed to me. Art style, classic kind of NIS art style. So, you know, that appealed as well. And actually, the characters are fully customizable, which is interesting because usually in these games, maybe you can customize your character at the beginning of, say, a Dark Souls or something like that. Or maybe you can customize the main character. But here you can customize the entire party to look like whatever you want. So that's an interesting little twist on it. I don't know if you can change their names or not, because they do seem to have official names. So I'm not sure how, if you can customize that and just create like a party of you and your friends trying to survive this dungeon. I'm not quite sure. But yeah, just the whole concept all around just seems like the kind of things I'm usually into. And so I was like, okay, I got to keep an eye on this. And for a while, I lost it off my radar because I couldn't remember the Japanese name. They took it off the tier it was on PlayStation, so I couldn't look it up again. And I had a trouble finding it, and then just randomly stumbled upon it. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, great. And, but yeah, now I've got my eye on it. I've got the English name. And
nice. I think it looks really cool, and I totally agree with you on the art style. And I was looking through your notes as well. I was like, oh, cool. I'm like, I'd like to play this. And I'm like, yeah, now I remember why I saw this, because this is coming for the Switch. And I think that's the big advantage of the Switch, in a sense, is that I was talking to a Steam Deck person the other day, and they were like, yeah, the Steam Deck, for Korean, you've got a 700 game catalog on your Steam account. You don't really need a Switch. But yeah, there's a bunch of stuff, right, coming to the Switch, which will never, not never, but will just come to the PC later. But like with the Switch, you get a selection of games that usually come out to Japanese games that come out on the Switch pretty soon compared to the PC. So that is why I'm excited. So cool. Yeah, no, I think this looks interesting. I love the art, and I can't wait to see when it eventually comes out.
Yeah, no, it does. I have all that information. It comes out in the US, it'll come out May 23rd, EU May 26th, and Australia, New Zealand June 2nd. So look for the end of May. And that's roughly when it'll be coming out. And yeah, it says it's only listed for the PS4, 5, and Switch. But I would be surprised if this did not come to PC at some point.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to my game, which is SteamWorld Build. Okay. I played SteamWorld The Dig 1. And then I played, there's a SteamWorld card game. But basically, it's a game where you play as robots. And it's really fun. And it's a universe and very colorful. And it's pretty decent as well. And you can see, if you're watching this on the YouTube channel or you're watching a short of this, and there will be a short, you can see some of the cool art and some of the mechanics and stuff. And this is a game, or I should say a world, that is just interesting, full of color and life. But this basically what SteamWorld Build is, like a sort of a game like Populous in the early 90s, if you ever played that, or City Skylines, right, from Focus Home Interactive. It's a strategy game. And then there's also an aspect of a dungeon keeper aspect in a sense as well. But I'll let you guys know. So basically, you need to escape a dying planet by building a mining tunnel to dig up vital, long-lost technology. We need to, of course, keep people happy, trade resources, defend yourself. So there's a bit of strategy, a bit of combat as well. This game was on the Steam Next Fest, so about a week ago or 2 weeks ago. So no release date for this game. I imagine this is going to be another one of those games that's going to come out in early access. And I would imagine they're going to choose one of those strategic times, like summer in the Northern Hemisphere, to release early access. That might be a bit too soon. Though from what people played on the Steam Next Fest, it looks like it's pretty much done. So I would say summer is my earliest bet for when this is actually going to be released in early access. I think if this was going to come out, it would be December, right? December, November is like the time when a lot of games come out as well. But yeah, it's a cool building, artful style, something to keep on your radar. It's already on my Steam wishlist. And just a like a fun, not an overly complicated building game with math and economics and all this sort of stuff. My kind of game, easygoing. And I'm looking forward to see how this comes out. I should say, like, how it eventually comes out, whether it's early access or full release. But I'm keeping my fingers crossed for a full release, at least in December.
Yeah, I'd heard of SteamWorld World Dig. I didn't realize this was the same franchise.
Yeah, I have a SteamWorld car game on my Switch. It's one of the first games I ever purchased that I've not finished. I've got SteamWorld Dig 1 and 2, and I think I played 2, and I wasn't in the mood at the time. But yeah, this is an entire world that has actually just gotten better and better as they've been using different graphical engines. So yeah, it's definitely something for if you're in the mood for something lighthearted that's got like some good core mechanics, but it's more definitely not a AAA game. It's more like a AA game in the sense of it's not going to wow you. Oh my God, this is so innovative, but it's going to be like, yeah, this is fun. Let's play it and finish it. And it's like most of the games are like 10 to 20 hours or so.
So on the video here, it says Xbox Series XS. So is this purely Xbox and PC, or is this coming to any other systems as well?
I did not look that up. I am assuming it's just going to be Xbox and PC, given the news we saw about Microsoft not making money on Steam Game Pass.
Yep.
I would assume this is just going to be another thing to get you onto Game Pass.
Okay.
Cool. So two games down. Adam, let's go on to your number two game.
All right. So my number two game is going to be Forever Skies. And yeah, this game is basically humanity has left Earth. Earth is a toxic dust ball at this point. And you've, for whatever reason, been tasked to go back. I think you're supposed to explore the surface. And you quickly discover an airship, basically. And then, yeah, it goes from there. So you have to go around this world. It's a survival game. You have your airship. You can customize it, build it how you want. You can add more balloons. You can add jet engines or propellers or turbines and all these other things. And basically, you fly around the world. You collect resources. You upgrade your... And then you can put like little science modules on it and study more things. And the better your ship gets, you can descend through the atmosphere. It gets rougher and rougher as you go down, so you need a more durable ship. So yeah, the loop is you fly your ship to basically the tops of cities that are poking out through the clouds. And, you know, you gather what resources you can. You return to your ship. You upgrade your ship. You descend a little bit lower. Go back through these cities. But yeah, it's supposed to be pretty big. You can go all over the place. I've seen videos on the customization that you can do for your airship, which is really cool. So in some ways, it kind of reminds me of games like Windbound, where you were building there. It's a boat, a similar thing where your boat is your home and you can upgrade it as you go, and it'll allow you to better traverse the world and that sort of thing. So I really enjoy these kind of building and customization type things. So for me, as soon as I saw this, I was like, this is right up my alley. This is the kind of game that I really love playing. It has some survival element. You do have to eat and whatnot. But from what I've seen of early reviews or people that have been able to play a little bit of the game, it's actually a little bit more forgiving than most survival games. You don't get hungry that quickly. It actually goes down pretty slow. And food items and that sort of thing are actually pretty abundant in the world. So you shouldn't have too much trouble surviving, that sort of thing. So if you're the kind of person who like enjoys the concept of survival games, but you maybe feel like sometimes it can be a little bit too intense, this is something that might appeal to you a little bit more, because it does seem to be maybe a little less intense in terms of, oh no, I'm starving and I need to run back to my ship. Will I make it? Will I not make it? That doesn't seem to be as big of a concern. So, yeah, I'm really interested in this and love the building aspect.
I saw this is coming to PC 2022 on the end of the trailer. Of course, that's not true, right?
Yeah, no, that's not true. So it is currently on Steam. It is labeled as coming soon. That is all it says, is coming soon. I believe it will be going into early access. So you can play a demo now. There's a demo out that you can play right now. But early access, I'm not sure when that's going to come. And it is coming to PC and Xbox and PlayStation. So this is one of those things where I'm on the fence. Do I go for the early access like I did with Frozen Flame? Try to get on the ground floor with this? Or is this the kind of thing where I wait and for the PlayStation release and play it on the PlayStation, since that's where I do most of my gaming? So I'm on the fence with this one as to where I want to play it. But we'll see. Yeah, I'll keep an eye on it. And I do intend to at some point download the demo and give it a shot. So.
Okay, very cool. It's like, I'm like, compared to the first game, this looks really cool. It reminds me of a Subnautica sort of game in a way, yeah, where you're going into a world, you're slowly upgrading and stuff. And it's got that, like in Subnautica, right? It was like, I grew up near the Indian Ocean in South Africa, and I was deadly afraid of swimming in the ocean. So Subnautica was a game, oh my God, something's going to bite me or eat me. And this sort of has the vibe of, okay, I'm in this balloon, I'm safe. And then as soon as I descend into the building, like something bad's going to happen or something like that. But it's just, I love the discovery aspect, the science aspect. It's, I wish they'd make like a Star Trek game like this, where you're traveling through the universe and going on a planet and discovering and building things and that sort of stuff. I'm really excited for this. And I think I was just looking at the company's homepage, Far From Home Games, and I was like, oh, okay. They're a Polish studio.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of the trailer, you can see a kind of No War logo that they have.
Which makes sense. I was like, I thought they were a Ukrainian studio as well, which makes sense that the game might be delayed. But even as a Polish studio,
they're pretty close to the action.
Yeah, exactly. Given what's happening over there. So I understand things might be a bit tense. But yeah, in the actual trailer, I just saw Stop War as well. That's pretty cool. But this is highly impressive, like looking at the details and stuff. It's a shame none of this is ever going to come to a Switch or something like that, or any sort of portable console. But yeah. Cool. Okay, let's move on to my second game.
Okay.
So my second game is Mika and the Witch's Mountain. It says a delivery service adventure. Now, a delivery service adventure makes me think that there was another game, which is like a delivery service adventure. And that does ring a bell, but I do not remember it at all.
This game makes me think of Kiki's Delivery Service, the anime.
By Mika. Oh, okay.
You're a little witch. So you know more about that. Come on.
I did not know that. Okay, so you see, this is why Adam is the vault of knowledge about all things anime and gaming. But the cool thing about this game is when I saw this on Kickstarter, I'm like, okay, this looks interesting. And this is published by a studio. The publisher is not a huge publisher. I think they've only published their own games, and this would be the first time they published their own games, which is, oh God, Mara and an island game. I can't remember the names, but Chibik Studios is the name of the game studio and the actual publisher. And they published three games, because I just kickstarted like their game last year and I got the game, and oh, these guys are helping someone else publish their game. And the guys who make this game are actually a Spanish studio. And I never realized as well, is like Spain has a lot of gaming studios, which I was totally surprised. On the other podcast that I do, I interviewed a Spanish gaming studio, and I'm like, wow, this is just, it's like Spain. But yeah, so I saw this in Kickstarter. I'm like, okay, who are these guys? They're backed by a publisher who I know is very timely when it comes to Kickstarter games. The games are always published. They're not delayed. Their games are AA games, right? They're not like AAA games, but they're still fun. They're not well reviewed. The game they did, Mara and Summer's Island, that game was like really fun, Stardew Valley-esque sort of game, but was not well rated or well reviewed, but it was still like a game if you liked it, cool. A lot of it has this sort of anime art style. In this game, I believe the amount they asked was $42,675. The current Kickstarter pledge for, I think this is this studio's first game, is $746,634. So they've, I don't know how many extra their game. My math is horrible. But yeah, that was like super, super impressive. And they've unlocked a whole bunch of stretch goals. And this looks, again, if you're new to the podcast, I like this sort of game. I love the game where it's relaxing, you go to an island. It's, and again, I guess the Harvest Moon series started this, where you're going from the normal, boring life to this magical place where things happen. And Stardew Valley did the same thing. And this is what the Witch's Mountain is. You're going around and delivering stuff. There's a lot of Spanish culture in there. You can go around and deliver churros for an office. But yeah, it's a nice, very easygoing game. The expected release date of this game, I think, which is one of the reasons I backed it, is actually October of this year. And that's so very soon, right? So if you back this game right now, and again, do your own research when you're looking at Kickstarter games, see if this works for you. Nothing is at 100% guarantee. I backed only one game off the publisher, Cheapik Studios, and it came on time. I didn't back the other two games, but the publishers, all their games are out. As I said before, this is this particular studio's, so you have to decide if this is up your alley. But it is a beautiful game, really cool art. There's some cool stretch goals as well. So if you're a physical collector, you get like a little statue. I think it's about, how many euros is that? So all the prices are in euros as well. So you do need to think about that if you're using your credit card or a debit card and you're not a euro credit card or debit card. With the figure, you're paying 60 euros, right? So you get the figure, you get the physical Nintendo Switch game, and you have to pay for shipping fees to whatever your country is. I remember I paid $11 shipping fees to Taiwan. I just bought the physical Switch game. So I paid 40 euros. I think I ended up paying like $54, something like that. Pretty good deal, right? Getting a game in October. I'm looking pretty cool, and I'm trying to build up my Switch collection because I do. And the NMI of the generation were physical games. I just threw out a whole bunch of physical games actually last year because there were, I'd never play them again, and they're all on my digital collection. But yeah, cool game. Keep an eye out for it. Back in the Kickstarter if you're interested, or just wishlist it, right? It's on Steam. You can wishlist it, and you don't have to kickstart it. I kickstarted it because this is like a, it's just like buying a game on a Steam sale, but buying it early and giving the studio money. And who doesn't like flying around on a broom and you're not Harry Potter? Hint, hint.
Is this Switch only, or Switch and Steam only? Or?
This is PC and Switch, and I think it's a whole bunch of platforms, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Steam, Switch, PlayStation, Xbox.
Okay, it's pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
Do you know how much this will retail at when it does release?
This is, I have to look at the original price. So the base price of this game is, this is the early price, so 25 euros. So that's about $27. So I would assume this game, usually at about that price point on Kickstarter games, they usually retail at for 40 USD.
Okay. So yeah, this is not going to be your $7 game. Yeah, I was kind of surprised that they only asked for, what did you say, 42,000, 48,000? Was there asking?
42,000. There are a new studio. Like if you go into Kickstarter these days, especially in this climate, you ask for six figures or more, you're unlikely to get it.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. To me, I'm thinking like, that's one person's yearly pay. And then I'm looking at these other games like Final Fantasy or something are like multiple millions. And this one's only 46,000, 48,000. I'm like, oh man, you could, that's like the price of a car or something.
Yeah, I saw this and it, like they launched it in Kickstarter and like the first week, nothing was happening. The Kickstarter was like 100 and something percent, like maybe 80 or 90,000. And then a week later, I'm like, oh, wow. It just started going up and up and up and up.
But yeah, as you said, I guess this studio has a reputation of delivering on time.
Publisher has.
The studio is first. Okay.
Yes. So I have the publisher's game, and I think I played it when I got it through Kickstarter. So that's, again, one of the cool things is if you back this, you get your digital Kickstarter code as soon as the game's out, and they'll email it to you. So you have to check your Kickstarter. I always forget that with Kickstarter games, you have to check your Kickstarter email, and then you just load it up onto your platform, you know, through Steam or your Switch. Imagine the PlayStation is the same. You input the code and you get the game in your account and just you're off to the races. No need to unbox anything and you can start playing.
Interesting. I will definitely have to check this one out.
Cool. So, Adam, what is your third game?
Okay. So, my game number three is... Shut down all my videos. Oh, no. Give me a second here. I don't know why these don't work. There we go. That's why. Okay, so mine is Akiba's Trip 2 Director's Cut. So Korean says he has not heard of this game before. I've mentioned it before. The full name is Akiba's Trip Undead and Undressed Director's Cut. Akiba's Trip 2 is only the name in Japan, but that's the name I put just to throw Korean off the scent. So this game is one of those games that it's way more fun than it has any business being. Like this game just on paper sounds so wrong, but it is so much fun. So basically, there's two games out currently. They are not related in the sense that they both take place in the same place. They both take place in Akibahara in Japan. But in the first one, they are fighting these people. They're called Shadow Souls. And in the second game, they're fighting things called Synthers, which functionally are identical. I don't know why they changed the name of the enemies, but I guess it's to show that the two games are unrelated. There's no connection between them. and they seem to happen in the same time frame. So they're almost happening in parallel universes. But basically, the premise of this game is, in Akiba's Trip 2, these things called synthers, which are effectively vampires. Okay. They're effectively vampires, but they're weird in the sense that they don't crave blood. They crave obsession. So they're obsession vampires in a way. And by obsession, Japan is famous for its otaku culture. So these are, they prey on people who become obsessed with basically anything. People who are obsessed with anime, or people who are obsessed with Gundam models, or people who are obsessed with idols or whatever. And so they prey on that, and then they find you, they turn you into one of them, and then basically you prey on other people. So it's a weird system. They don't crave blood or anything like that. Although, I guess some of the original ones do drink blood. I'm not quite sure. It's not very clear. Because they're vampires, the best way to kill them is sunlight. And of course, the best way to expose them to sunlight is to rip off all their clothes. And that is the dynamic of the game. Is basically everybody has, you have a headgear, you have a top, and then you have pants. And basically you have a system where you have to attack either the top, the middle, or the bottom. And it's like a rock, paper, scissors, where if you aim for the top and they try to block the middle, you can get them. If you aim for the top and they block the bottom, you miss. And if so, you can, so you're doing this thing, you got some extra special moves where you can break their defenses and whatnot. And then once you've weakened a piece of gear, if you weaken it too much, it'll break. But what you can also do is you have this kind of rip mechanic where you can just kind of like grab like their hat and just yank it off their head and whatever. It seems so wrong. Just this idea of people running around in the street just pulling each other's clothes off. But it's so much fun. The way they do it is just so well done. It's really an interesting. The gameplay is a lot of fun. And then they just really lean into it. It's just really cheeky and stupid. And everything's just ridiculous and over the top. Everybody in the game is some form of anime fanatic or something like that, or game nerd or whatever. And the situations that you get to are just completely ridiculous. For example, you might have, there's a new model coming out of the store, and there's a group of people, and one of these censors knows that these people are obsessed with this thing, so they go there, and you're just like breaking up like riots where people are rioting over like this 12-inch doll or something. And it's just really dumb, but it is a lot of fun. And this game came out a long time ago. It came out originally on the PlayStation Vita. I think it even had a PlayStation 3 game, possibly. But then it came out on PS4 around the same time. And now, years later, this came out in 2014 or something like that. So 10 years old now or something like that. Years later, one of the characters in the game, her name is Kati. She is a maid. She works at a maid cafe, which goes into that whole kind of nerd Japanese theme. But she's a maid who works in a maid cafe. And in the game, you have multiple paths where you can ally with one of the characters and then take it to the end with them. And but Kati was always a side character, but now she gets her own ending. And her ending is the true ending. So we're going to finally get to see the true ending of the game, as well as get some side quests and whatnot. But yeah, I'm looking forward to some really dumb, inappropriate fun.
Got a bunch of questions. Like, did you play the original game on PS3 or?
I played it on PS4. I played I know it was on Vita, but then on PS4 they had the, I don't remember what they called it, but it was the version that came with all the DLC. So it was like back then it was like the complete version or whatever. And obviously years later they've come back and we've done this. But yeah, I played the original one. So unfortunately, I'm pretty sure I lost my save. I'll have to go and double check to see if my save is still on my PS4. Otherwise, I might have to go through and play it again. But yeah, it's really interesting because you can get the clothes that you, if you break something, you lose it. But if you rip something off somebody, you can collect those clothes and add them to your wardrobe. So you can completely customize your outfit. You can take other clothes to upgrade your clothes. So even if you have, say, a t-shirt that looks really cool, but it's actually really weak, you can upgrade it. So, you know, there's fully customizable. A lot of the weapons in the game are just ridiculous. I like to use either like the bow, the wooden samurai sword, or a baseball bat, but you can use things like umbrellas. You can get body pillows and beat people up with body pillows. You can get giant paper fans and, you know, just all sorts of ridiculous things. You can get a businessman's briefcase and smack people around with that. So it's just, everything is just supposed to be very tongue-in-cheek and not taken seriously.
So this is a game, and this goes into the PS5. So you can play this on your PS5, right? Because some PS4 games, when you switch it over to your PS5, are not compatible.
I have yet to see a PS4 game that is not compatible on the PS5, so there might be a few.
You could play this again. You could play this again on your PS4.
Oh, absolutely.
On PS5, what did I say, PS4?
Because actually, too, this one is Akiba's Trip 2. Recently, I guess a couple years ago, they re-released the original Akiba's Trip, which was a PSP game for the PS4. So I got that one, and that one I ran played on the PS5.
Okay.
Yeah, this will play on the PS5. No problem. But if you do notice, there is no PS5 version. There is only the PS4 version, so there's not going to be an upgrade in that sense. And this game is going to be available on PC, PlayStation 4, and Switch. Switch get the director's cut, which is the full game. PS4 and Steam will only get DLC. So you'd have to get the original game, and then, or if you already have the original game, you get the DLC. And then you can basically upgrade to the director's cut version.
So is this like a brawler? Because as I was watching the trailer,
it's completely a brawler, yes.
Okay, so there's a typical brawler mechanics, but you're also, there are, like you said, like extra keys you have to push. I guess like you would in a brawler to perform like a special move or something.
Yeah, no, it's very much that. Like the way they did it, if I remember correctly, there's a triangle, square, and X. Triangle is, or maybe it's, triangle, square, and circle. You have three buttons. One button is high attack, one is mid attack, one is low attack, and then you can do certain combos. So you can do like a sweep where you like do a spin around. So if you're surrounded by guys, you can hit a bunch of them. You could do like an attack that's like a lunge that'll break their defense when you jet forward, and then you have a button to grab so you can grab the hat or grab the shirt or whatever. So yeah, it's got all the, it's just a typical brawler. This is actually, I played the game and I released the video very recently for Dusk Diver. And this is the game that basically got me into Dust Diver, because when Dust Diver first came out, I was like, the art style, everything about this game seems to emulate Akiba's Trip. The art style is almost identical. The way they do conversations is almost identical, with the picture of the person in the lower corner and the words coming out. You know, everything looks so similar. And this takes place in Akibahara, which is the nerd capital of Japan. Dust Diver takes place in Ximending, which is the nerd capital of Taipei. And there are a lot of parallels between these two games.
Hey, so Akihabara is like a suburb of Tokyo, right?
Yep.
Got it. Nice. I hope, this is another sort of downside of the Switch, is like a lot of the stuff like you're talking about, I can't add it to my Switch, like the Deku deals that I use to track on my Switch wishlist, because it only allows me to wishlist current games. And the thing I'm worried about is I'm going to forget about the two games that you've already mentioned today, because I can't add them to anywhere. There's the actual Switch system, and the Deku Deal system does not support future releases, which kind of sucks.
You just have to go back and watch old episodes.
Good idea. All right, I have one more game to talk about.
Fantastic.
And my last game is a game called Fabledom, which is another game that was released on the Steam Next Fest. And it is another sort of typical Korean game. Right. This is a game where it's the idea of, it's a city builder. And I think the last city builder I actually played, given that we've talked about two of them already, is a City Skylines. And I enjoyed City Skylines a lot, but I haven't played a city builder since then. But I like this because an old high school friend of mine asked me to purchase Age of Empires 4, which was on sale recently, and I purchased it. And I'm like, this is cool. Then I realized, yeah, I love the building, I love the expansions, I love the progressing to technological ages. And then I'm like, yeah, the Age of Empires 4 RTS style combat is still a little bit stressful. But this game is, you're starting off a fairy kingdom, right? Again, you think of the Shrek Pixar movies and Happily Ever After. And the art style is cool. I don't like the way they do the faces and body shapes and stuff. It reminds me of Naughty, the cartoon back in the day. But yeah, so you're starting for kingdom, and what you're looking for is you're trying to find a prince and a princess. You're building up. It's a typical kingdom farming. There is, from what I've seen, I haven't seen this in videos and stuff that I've watched, is you do need to build an army. You need to choose a hero and stuff, which obviously must be the prince of the kingdom, to protect and conquer. And that's pretty much, this game is currently available right now. It's an early access game. There is a demo involved as well. The demo is available right now, but it is coming out in early access in quarter one 2023, so I guess another month, and they're going to have to release this in early access. So you can download the demo if you would like to play it now and see how it goes. From what I remember, is it, the demo is about 3 to 5 hours or so. That's pretty good for a lot of middle-aged gamers, right? If you're gonna play something for 3 to 5 hours, so have a look at it, play it. If you like it, great. If you don't like it, fine. You didn't pay for anything. This is also a game from somebody, again, the guys who make this, right? The developer Grunar Games. This is another studio who's doing something new, which is something I'm really happy about to see more and more people getting involved with games, making their own games, making unique games. And I was talking to Adam about this before the show. Like, the wonderful thing about gaming is, like, he chose 3 games, I chose 3 games. In the scope of that, right, we did not find games that overlap, or we didn't choose the same games. We didn't talk about this beforehand. And I think that just says something for the gaming industry, that it's becoming so diverse, so varied, that you can have multiple games of the same type. And because gaming has become so niche, that these games are still going to succeed. They're still going to have their audience. They're still going to have their fans. And we can still look forward to... Oh my God, I forgot the name already. We can still look forward to an Akiba's Trip 3 Director's Cut or some other sort of game in the future. But yeah, this is Fabledom. Nice, relaxing, minimal combat. And I guess, which is something I'm looking forward to. And I will not buy this when it's in early access. I'll probably buy this just when it's a full release or when it's on sale in early access, as early access games also go on sale as well. But yeah, fun, easygoing. Again, if you're like a person like me, this is probably the game for you.
Yeah, no, this cool. Looks really interesting. So this looks very similar to SteamWorld.
Yes, I would say SteamWorld, again, just from my eyes, looks a lot better. This game, again, the personal, the buildings and stuff look cool, but I think the SteamWorld looks a bit more refined in terms of art style. This game looks a bit more rough in terms of art style. So yeah, this, I guess, SteamWorld has the whole existing universe. I'm interested to see how this game ends up being. Like, what kind of universe they're going to build, what is the game, how they're going to match it. Like, the list on the Steam page is, like, inspiration from Kings and Castles. And a lot of these games where building is the focus and it's less about combat, which I think a lot of people are interested in these days. And I think, going back to Mika and the Witch's Mountain, is there's still a huge demand for a Story of Seasons, Harvest Moon style games, like even Animal Crossing. Animal Crossing does these updates every now and then, but I mean, you can still finish all the content. So people are still looking for games that are easygoing, that you can still play these games, that they're not like, oh my God, I have to play for 2 hours and then I can save, or I die all the time, or that sort of stuff. Yep, that's it for me. Cool. So we have, I don't think we even need to transition to end part, since we have about 8 minutes left. We actually don't have 8 minutes because it's just the two of us. But Adam, yeah, I saw you played Besiege yesterday. How was that?
That was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I love these building type games. I would say it'd be nice if they had a little bit more of a tutorial, just because there are times where I'm like looking at an object and I'm like, what does this even do? What is the purpose of this thing? So there are times where I'm not quite sure what something is or why I would want, say, object A over object B. So there were kind of things where I was like, okay, I could maybe use, not necessarily on how to play the game, but maybe I could use a few more tutorials on what the parts do. Like, maybe they could just do, I don't know, even if they just had on the side, just a parts tutorial, and they're like, okay, if you want to learn what parts do or whatever. But I'm really enjoying it. And it is interesting in that they do present you with problems that, in a way that it seems somewhat natural of a progression, even without a tutorial. For example, the first world or whatever is all ground-based. And then in the second world, they immediately introduce you to air level. And from the very beginning, you're like, oh, I'm just going to fall into oblivion. I need to fly from the get-go. And you immediately are like putting balloons on stuff and experimenting and seeing how to get a little plane thing to work. And then you're like, oh, you know what? This would have come in really handy in the original, where like there was one part where there's a castle sitting on top of a hill and there's a little ramp to get up to it. And my solution was inelegant at best, but you have to destroy like 20% of the tower. And after I did the flying levels, I was like, oh dude, I could just build a plane, fly over it and just drop a bomb on it and it would be done. That would be super simple to do. My solution was just to build a giant wall and just attach rockets everywhere I could and just fire every rocket at once and hope that they hit their targets. And after about 3 times, it worked. Like, it just, you go and they fly off in every which way. But they go in random directions each time, and one time they all just happen to go exactly where they needed to go.
Dude, you should make that a short, because I know Besiege shorts were really, really popular when it came out.
How were they?
I still see them on YouTube shorts from time. It's just people like seeing things being destroyed.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. And then afterwards, I was like, yeah, this is not how you're supposed to solve it. I was trying to build a catapult, and I couldn't figure out for the life of me how to do it. There's obviously going to be ways to do it. I just didn't figure it out. But then later on, I was like, oh, dude, just build a plane, fly, drop bombs. It's super easy.
My God, I just thought of some inspiration. Gaming with Dad. You and your dad, the science master, play this game. He goes, Adam, son, this is how you build a catapult.
I heard Kerbal Space Program can do two players, so maybe my dad and I can do that together.
I'll talk to him about it. That would be, Steam has remote play, right? So your dad wouldn't need to have the game and he could still do it.
Yeah, but I need to find a two-player game.
I think with remote play, it's like, you don't have to be two players. Like, this person can still interact with the game without...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out. That seems like it'd be confusing. Two people fighting over the mouse at the same time?
You're the onus. You give control to the person.
Oh, okay.
So that there's no trolling chances at all because you are the master.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I'll have to check that out, yeah.
Because this seems like a game where I can imagine like a Twitch series or a YouTube series where your dad is like 70-something, right? Or 60-something.
He's 65, 60.
Your dad's youngish.
Youngish, yeah. But he worked on the drone program for the military.
Exactly. I think he'd have fun like with this sort of like puzzle. And just, this is like a puzzle game, right? You're going through
It's
levels.
Very much a puzzle game.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm having a lot of fun with it. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw Besiege. I'm like, this looks really cool. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, puzzle games and me don't work out really well, especially on PC, because I always feel like I'm wasting time failing, which is why I stopped playing Deathloop as well. Deathloop, I didn't fail that much, but yeah. Cool, Besiege sounds fun.
Yeah, like I said, I've been upgrading my designs. My first design was like a car. It has front steering and power and whatnot. And then I was like, okay, we're going to do the Warthog thing, if you've played Halo, where the front wheels and the back wheels move in opposite directions so you can make tighter turns. And then later on, I figured out, hey, I can actually have one button control all my wheels on the left and one button control all my wheels on the right, and I can just do tank controls and make a 0-degree turn or whatever they call it,
Nice.
Or a 0-point turn, and that definitely upped my game once I did that. And then once I figured out I can do flying, it's like, oh great, now I can have a tank, and my tank can take off.
you can go back and do the level one with the air.
Oh yeah, you start off with access to everything. It doesn't, but it gives you, like, it whatever that level implies you'll need, because they have different categories. So they have a category called basic, they have a category called movement, they have a category called flight, category called weapons. So in the first levels, it's going to start you off in the basic category. You can switch to the different category and grab other parts. Basically, it tells you you're going to need parts from this category to complete this. And later levels, you start off in the flight category. So basically, it's telling you from the get-go, you're going to need to use these parts. So it gives you a hint in that sense of what kind of parts you probably should use to complete the level. But yeah, you can go back to level one and use all the parts. And yeah.
Nice. So are we going to be seeing more Besiege, or was that like a once-off thing?
That I would think I will continue playing. I've also been playing Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core, but I'm doing that on my own time. So I think I'm going to save Besiege for streams and then just do Crisis Core on my own time. So I'm going to do the juggling between a streaming game and a me game. I think I'm going to be doing that for a while.
Cool. So Crisis Core for you probably... the next 1 month or 2 months.
No, it shouldn't be that long. I looked it up. The game's only like 11 hours long. I'll finish it in less than a month.
There are Final Fantasy games less than 20 hours of play?
Yeah, this game was originally a PSP game, so it was made for mobile.
Okay. So Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core, Besiege has a lot of levels from what I remember, so that's going to be a while for streaming. And then not to mention the puzzle element. And then what's after Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core?
By then, I think the Final Fantasy 14 patch 3.5 is coming out, so they are going to add a new deep dungeon, so I might be doing that. But I'm also thinking maybe I'll do Elden Ring. So
have you purchased it already?
Yeah, I already have Elden Ring. Yeah.
Okay, nice. I'm looking forward to using, because Elden Ring is now on my wish list. Okay. Just to see how it goes.
So I think my current plan right now is to do Final Fantasy Crisis Core on my own time, do Besiege on stream. When I finish Crisis Core, I'll just go 100% Besiege stream and off stream. And then once I finish that, I'll go to Elden Ring stream and on stream, stream and off stream. And of course, Final Fantasy 14 sprinkled in throughout, because Of course.
Of course. Yeah, I started playing Uncharted last week, which was really impressive, but the game defaulted to like ultra settings 4K on my computer, and it was running not great. But I switched it down to high and it runs great, but it's like, I guess I haven't played a first person or like a Sony AAA game since Horizon Zero Dawn. Finally getting it. And I bounced off Horizon Zero Dawn because I just wasn't feeling it at that time. I'm definitely enjoying Uncharted more. The whole traversal stuff is a bit irritating because it reminds me a lot of, there's a lot of freaking climbing in that game, which I don't understand. It reminds me of the Tomb Raider games. But yeah, really fun, really well acted. I'm actually deciding because I've only got, today's Wednesday, 3 more days gaming time, and then I'm away in India for the week. So I'm going to decide today if I'm going to play Age of Empires or Uncharted, and then we'll see how it goes.
Sounds good.
Cool. What about next week? Do you have any official plans or still going to wait and see what's going to happen?
When it first came out, I played Destiny, and I joined the Destiny forums back then in 2014. And I hung out in them for years and years and years. And somebody from the Destiny forums, because at one point people were, I don't remember why, but I mentioned that we had a podcast. I guess some people started listening. So one of those people found me on Twitter, and apparently they've been listening to the show because they said, I heard you're going to need a guest coming up soon. I'm more than willing to do it. So yeah, we're going to interview this guy.
Nice. Nice. Okay, cool. I will be listening to that next week at some point in India. We're going to have to figure out, I think, when was the last time you published an episode?
Been a while, but I'm sure I could do it again.
Do you still have access to the podcasting platform?
Probably.
Okay. I have to see what my schedule is. I might be able to still publish everything and do the shorts and stuff next week anyway. We'll see, because India is weird. It's like super cold. Like where I'm going in India is 14 degrees in the morning. And then during the day, it's 31 degrees during the day. So it's like huge, like double digit differential. So I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I don't imagine we'll be doing too much because we are older. My brother's 50, I'm 40, my mom's 74. So I might have time at night to get all of this sort of stuff done. But yeah, no, I'll probably keep in touch with you online and we can decide next week.
Sounds good.
Cool. As usual, thank you, Adam, for taking care of today's production. And I hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. I think this is just going to be a single episode. I might try and cut this into two just to see how it goes. But if you enjoyed today's episode, if you enjoyed the games, don't forget to support us and support the games as well. Like, share, subscribe on YouTube. Do the same thing on Facebook and on Twitch. Watch Adam play Besiege on Twitch if you're a big puzzle game fan. And stay tuned for Adam's special episode, finally with another guest, next week, Wednesday, at the same time, 10 a.m. Taiwanese time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Tuesday. And then I will see you guys hopefully in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, I will have to be joining the podcast from my MacBook because I will still be in self-imposed quarantine in a hotel here in Taiwan.
Oh, you can't do it from home.
No, because I live, my current apartment building is filled with a bunch of old people and I'd hate to bring COVID and get some of these old people sick.
Fair enough.
Yes. All right, you guys take care and then we will see you next week. Adam will see you next week.
That's right. See you later. Okay.
Later.